What did this election mean locally, Washington State, the Seattle area? I'm Bill Radke with former Seattle Mayor Greg Nickels. Hi, Greg.
Good morning.
And former State Republican Party Chair Chris Vance. Chris, thank you for coming in.
Good morning.
I'm just going to let you start it. What was the most important election result in from a Washington or Seattle perspective, Greg Nickels?
You know, I think that whether it's Democrats or Republicans in control of Congress, very little gets done. So what I look to is what is happening at the local and the state level. Four states raised the minimum wage by public vote yesterday. Two followed Colorado and Washington in terms of legalizing marijuana. And gun control, a place where Congress dare not tread, in Washington State, I think we saw what might be a national model in terms of Initiative 594 passing overwhelmingly.
And what does that overall mean for us here
in
Washington? That pattern, pot, minimum wage, gun control.
I think what it means is that innovation, new ideas are going to come up from cities, from states, and then become national trends, either state by state or possibly as federal action as it becomes safer to do those things.
State laboratories of democracy.
Exactly.
Chris Vance, what was the most important result from this election for you?
I'll give you two. First of all, the changes in Congress mean less power for Washington State, parochially. Now, Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell go from being in the majority to being in the minority. That's going to make it difficult, harder for the state for things like Hanford cleanup.
And Patty Murray, especially, she's losing the budget committee chairmanship. That's big.
Dramatic change. And people don't realize how important Doc Hastings was in the House of Representatives. Losing him to retirement lessens our clout in the congressional delegation.
And to catch people up, sorry, but just I'm results man. The election to replace Doc Hastings is very close between the two Republicans. Newhouse slightly ahead.
It's close. Newhouse is going to win.
Okay.
And a lot of Republicans are breathing a sigh of relief over that. But he comes in as a freshman, and Doc Hastings was one of the most senior members of the House. So overall, the state of Washington loses clout in Congress. The second thing is. Not enough people are talking about this morning, is the Republican gains in the state House. The Republicans are going to gain between 3 and 5 seats in the House. If they gain 5, the House Democratic majority will be down to 50 to 48. And there are some conservative Democrats in the House. You're going to start to see people talk about a majority coalition in the House.
Like as happened in the Senate.
Yeah, I think you're going to see, unfortunately, even more gridlock in Olympia with very divided government. Because the Senate will be Republican, and now the Republicans will be close to a majority in the House.
So I'm driving to work this morning listening to KOW. Why should I care whether there's gridlock in Olympia? How's it going to affect
people? Because you're driving to work this morning in god-awful traffic, and they need to pass a major transportation package, which they have not been able to do the past 2 years. They need to get some sort of major agreement on education funding to satisfy the Supreme Court. And I think... you know, as I'm a Republican, you know, I see Republicans win. I'm very worried about gridlock, though, because we have divided government and sharply partisan divided government now, both in Washington, D.C. and Olympia.
That's Chris Vance, former state Republican Party chair. Greg Nickels, former Seattle mayor, since we're talking about horrible traffic, let's touch on the passage of this Metro Transit measure in Seattle. What does that mean for a countywide bus service that Seattle's going it alone and paying more money for bus service?
Well, I think it's probably good news for everyone in the county. The more people we get on transit, the more we reinforce our land use comprehensive plan that says that we're going to have growth in the cities, in particular the center city. Transit reinforces that, allows that to work, and keeps things at least tolerable, if not much better than they are today. So I think it's good news that Seattle voters, again, are willing to invest in something they believe in, and that is good quality transit.
Any other reaction, Chris Vance?
It is good news, but it's troubling that, once again, Seattle has to go it alone on a major public policy issue because there can't be an agreement between Republicans and Democrats in Olympia. And then, of course, I mean, the voters rejected the only tool the county had, which was the proposition that failed. Seattle should not have to pay for transit. That's supposed to be a regional responsibility, but they had to go it alone.
You know, we were talking about the state legislature. I want to bounce back to that for a moment because we've reported so much on KUOW about how expensive the state legislative campaigns have been, thanks in part to the environmental activism of this California billionaire. How much do you think voters notice that out-of-state spending and hold it against Democrats, Greg Nichols?
You know, I think that we have an interesting system where we have very few competitive races. So in my district, the 34th district, I think one of the incumbents might have had an opponent. and I think the opponent might actually have been another Democrat. So we didn't see any of that. People in the competitive district saw probably campaigns on a new scale. I don't think it's good. I think that we need to find some answers. We know we can't limit the amount people spend on campaigns, though Seattle years ago had a public financing matching system that worked very well if candidates agreed to voluntarily restrict how much they spent. They were able to access matching funds to small contributions. I think we ought to look at something like that so that the people who live in a district are the actual ones who are making decisions, not the people who write the checks.
Chris Vance, what do you think?
I've never seen voters reject a candidate because of where their money came from. What is absurd is how much we're spending on legislative campaigns now. I was elected to the state house in 1990. We spent just about $100,000, and I think mine was one of the most expensive house races in the state at that time. We're approaching $1 million for a state legislative campaign. But one of the things I do for a living is help run campaigns. You don't need $1 million for a state legislative campaign. It just gets redundant and ridiculous how much stuff they're doing. And it's really overkill. I think Tom Steyer wasted his money because there's only so much you can do in a legislative race, and putting $1 million into a legislative campaign just becomes silly.
Let's talk about these competing child care initiatives in Seattle. We had 1B, that's a proposal from the mayor and the city council for property taxes to create this citywide subsidized preschool program. Then there was 1A, the measure backed by a couple of unions. 1B passed, 1A did not. Greg Nichols, why is that?
Well, I think it was very clear that the political establishment in Seattle, the progressive political establishment, got behind 1B and got the message out that that one was funded and did some important things. The odd thing about that one to me was I don't see the two as being mutually exclusive. I think you can set standards and wages for child care workers and preschool teachers.
That was the 1A, the one that
was
failed.
The 1A. And you can subsidize low-income families and give their kids access to quality preschool. So I think they're both good ideas. It was interesting that they were cast in this election as competing ideas because I think they're actually fairly complementary.
You have 30 seconds, Chris Vance.
Another issue that it troubles me that Seattle had to go it alone. There's a lot of talk at Olympia about early learning. There's going to be less enthusiasm, I think, now among a lot of like the Seattle lawmakers to work on that. Now that Seattle solved their own problem. The state and the region has got to get their act together so Seattle doesn't have to go it alone on major issues.
We'll talk class size this morning. We'll talk former Mayor Greg Nichols. I'd be interested in your thoughts on all the successes from the current mayor, Ed Murray. We're going to talk more in a half an hour with former Mayor Greg Nichols, former State Party Republican Party Chair Chris Vance. Stay with us. Good morning. I'm Bill Radke, and this morning we're chatting live with the former mayor of Seattle, Greg Nichols, and the former state Republican Party chair, Chris Vance. These two used to be colleagues on the King County Council together. Good morning again, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Let's talk about gun control. Last year, the state legislature said no to expanded gun background checks. In this election, voters just said yes. Is this the beginning of a wave of voters taking over and backing gun control? Chris Vance, assault weapons ban next?
No. Look, in this campaign, you had credibly had people who could look into the TV camera and say, I support the Second Amendment. You had people saying, I'm a gun owner, but people should not be allowed to buy guns on Craigslist without going through a background check. But if you go farther and you start trying to really restrict people's gun rights, you're going to run into the same opposition that you always run into with gun control measures, and it will not pass. And it would be a huge political mistake for Democrats to do that. They have a huge problem right now with rural voters, with blue-collar voters, with white voters. And if they go out there and try and take weapons, which a lot of people in the rural areas use for hunting, actually, I don't, but they're going to lose. And they're going to further limit themselves to just being the party of downtown Seattle.
Greg Nichols, agree?
Well, no, I don't. Respectfully, I think that this opened the door to a conversation. The legislature has been absolutely unwilling, and frankly, it's been the Democratic House caucus that has been unwilling to talk about any common sense gun regulations. Is it an open invitation to take away someone's rifle or someone's handgun? No, it is not. But I think it is an opportunity to have a conversation about how we keep guns out of the hands of felons, those who are mentally disturbed, and kids. If we can keep guns out of the hands of those three groups of people, then I think that we can reduce the massacre of 30,000 people every year that occurs in this country. We need to have a common sense, rational conversation. That's been impossible until now. I think maybe the door's open to that now.
Washington State is rare in expanding gun background checks. So let's talk about, you mentioned earlier, last time, half an hour ago, Greg Nichols, the laboratories of democracy being on the local level. Is that a theme you take away in this election?
Absolutely. As a mayor, I think it's probably not shocking that I would believe that. But on climate protection, mayors led the way when there was really no national conversation in the last decade. Marijuana, the federal government has declared that the war on drugs is dead, but no policies have changed. We're still putting people in prison for minor marijuana possession. Minimum wage, federally, there hasn't been a will to raise the minimum wage for many years. Now, state by state and led in part by Seattle, we're looking at increasing the minimum wage. So I think that trend is going to continue because, you know, when Chris and I sat across from each other at the county council, we had to look each other in the eye and have an honest conversation about these issues. We might not at the end of the day agree, but we had to have the conversation, which led to us finding common ground and solutions. The federal level, we're not having any kind of honest conversation.
Yeah, I could not agree more. There's nothing wrong with the American political system other than the fact that this generation of Republicans and Democrats have decided not to compromise and work together. Greg and I sat on a county council which was 7 Republicans and 6 Democrats and a Democrat executive. We could literally get nothing done unless it was bipartisan. We knew that, so everything was bipartisan. And you had to give the other side half of what they wanted. There's no magic to that. You just have to decide you're going to do it. And they aren't doing that in Olympia, and they aren't doing that in Washington, D.C. Voters need to demand that. Unfortunately, I think what's going to happen is now you're going to see both parties say, let's just put everything on hold until we see if we can win the White House and then deal with a new president. And again, we waste 2 more years. At some point, voters have to rise up and say, enough of this. You know, you guys work together, compromise, and get stuff done.
Chris Vance and Greg Nichols, not far apart this morning, only about 6 feet. We're talking about election results. And so let's talk about the changing voter. What do we learn about the local and the American voter from this election, Chris Vance?
Well, CNN has on their website the exit polls from last night. They're really easy to see if you go find them. As predicted, last night was an older electorate than we've had in the past, and a whiter electorate. White voters made up 75% of the voters, where in 2012 it was 72%. And that white voters are trending more heavily Republican, while black voters are voting heavily Democratic. White women even voted 56% Republican yesterday. So you're seeing that politics in America is becoming more about what tribe you belong to, more about culture and race and values, which is unfortunate, I think. It makes it harder for there to be a compromise. But that's what Republicans should not spike the ball in victory this morning. They won because of turnout, because the younger voters, non-white voters, did not vote yesterday. And that's the main reason why Republicans did so well.
That brings up a question to me, Greg Nichols. We've talked about Washington State being so progressive in so many ways. But you didn't see a big victory for the Democrats in the state legislature. Why is that?
Well, I think that there are a couple of reasons. One, as Chris has pointed out, the turnout. You know, there are relatively few competitive races. And so where those competitive races are and who turns out in those may not reflect the entire state very well. I think that there also is something of a fatigue. I know that I have not been inspired by the Democratic majority in the Senate. They haven't gotten an awful lot done. So why should I spend a whole lot of time worrying about whether they keep a majority so that they continue to be unable to pass anything? I think that that's a factor. One of the lessons that we need to learn from this is if we're going to be and Washington State is not a blue state. Seattle and King County are bright blue dots. And in the last several governor's races that have been won by Democrats, they've won in Seattle and they have lost the rest of the state.
That's exactly right.
And so there is a divide in our state between urban and rural. And, you know, frankly, I think that is an unfortunate thing that we need to find a way to find common ground, whether you're urban or rural. We still have a stake in the future of this state, and we need to find out how we work together to achieve that.
Former Seattle Mayor Greg Nickels, former State Republican Party Chair Chris Vance. We're going to talk more in about a half an hour. KUOW-FM Seattle, KUOW Tumwater, KQOW Bellingham, and Digital HD Services. You guys are going to stick around.
Absolutely.
More on election results coming up. Good morning. I'm Bill Radke with former mayor of Seattle, Greg Nickels, and former state party chair and King County Council member, Republican Chris Vance. Good morning again, fellas.
Howdy.
All morning long, we've been telling you, the listener, what we know about the election results. Now let's talk about what we still don't know, and that is this initiative to limit class sizes in Washington State. Initiative 1351 would limit class sizes, set lower class sizes at every grade level, and the measure is just very evenly split. I think it's narrowly trailing right now, but there are a lot of ballots to be counted. This matters, for one thing, the state is under orders from the state Supreme Court to expand its funding of education. So what is at stake in this class size initiative, Chris Vance?
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I do is I work for the superintendent of public instruction, work on the sorts of issues down in Olympia. If the initiative fails, then the legislature will have much more latitude to negotiate a final deal on class sizes. But there is no doubt they're under court order to do certain things, and one of them is lower class sizes. The legislature didn't like this initiative because it would have told them exactly what the final deal had to look like, because they had to follow the initiative. If the initiative fails, they will be able to set that number themselves, at least in terms of grades 4 through 12. They have to bring class sizes down, but they won't have the discipline now of the initiative. I'm very surprised this is so close. The polls are pretty accurate this election season, except here. No poll showed this close, but it is very close.
Any more thoughts on that, Greg Nickels?
Well, I think the answer is I don't know. First, we don't know if it's going to pass.
Right.
And second, we've been down this path before. You know, the current court decision is not the first to direct the state to step up its efforts on what the Constitution defines as its paramount duty. This court went a little further in finding the legislature in contempt. This is the 800-pound gorilla to me for the 2016 state elections. What is it that the legislature and the governor can do together to make our education system meet that constitutional test? And I don't know if I see the leadership in the legislature on either side of the aisle ready to step up and actually take that on. I hope I'm wrong.
Democrats narrowly control the state house in Olympia, and Republicans control the Senate in Olympia after these election results.
Yes, but let's be honest. The Democratic Party controlled the House by a large margin before yesterday and had not acted on this. So I don't think that it's place where you can say it was the Democrats who were championing the issue or it was the Republicans championing the issue. No one has championed this issue, and it's time.
I want to talk about Ed Murray. He got his way. The mayor of Seattle got his way in this election when it comes to preschool. Voters in Seattle said yes to expanded preschool, city-subsidized preschool. This follows victories for Ed Murray in when it comes to $15 minimum wage, park district. The metro bus measure is also passing. You're a former Seattle mayor. What's the key to Ed Murray's success?
Well, there are a couple things. One, I have been very hopeful, and I've been telling people that there is a learning curve when you become mayor. If you're on the legislative side, you understand the policy debate. You don't necessarily understand how to actually get those things done by running a government. So there's a learning curve, and I think Ed Murray has shown that he's going through that learning curve, and he can get it. Secondly, we are blessed in Seattle. Our voters are willing to say yes to things that they believe in. They are willing to tax themselves for early childhood education, transportation, low-income housing, parks. And the temptation then is to keep asking. The one word of caution I would have is don't take that for granted. Make sure that when you ask them and they say yes, you show real results. Show that the preschool investment is paying off in terms of shrinking the achievement gap. Show that our park system is better than it was before that investment. Show the transportation improvements. If you do that and you go back and you make the case, Seattle voters will continue to say yes. Mayor Murray's been willing to step up on those issues, and I applaud him for that, and I think he's going to get better as time goes on.
When you're an executive, you are blamed for things that aren't your fault, like hurricanes or Ebola.
Snowstorms.
And you get credit for things that maybe, you know, would have happened even without you. I think what we see is a trend, as I talked about earlier, of Seattle being forced to go it alone because they can't get agreement at the regional or state level. And they're putting these popular ideas on the ballot and they're passing. And the mayor gets credit for that. Good for him. Sometimes politics is about luck and being in the right place at the right time.
We have just 3 minutes left in our last visit. We've been analyzing these election results all morning long. Many listeners are just joining us. Let's circle back to where we started. Again, repeat the takeaway, the most important, intriguing election results to you, Chris Vance.
The overall message from this election is that a relatively low turnout brings a different type of electorate and different results. 2 years ago, people were talking about an emerging Democratic majority nationwide. Now, all of a sudden, this morning, Republicans control both houses of Congress, over 30 governorships, the majority of state legislatures. The Republican Party is the governing party in America, other than here in this little weird corner of the Pacific Northwest. And politics, again, turnout is critical. Demography matters, and that's what we saw yesterday.
What's it feel like to be weird, Greg Nichols?
Well, you know, there are a lot of cities that use that as their tagline, Austin,
right,
for instance. I continue to think that the big issue is not so much did the Republicans win, did the Democrats win, because in 2 years the turnout will be different and Democrats will do much, much better. And it won't matter. What will matter are these efforts at the local level. We thought that Washington was weird when Colorado and Washington legalized marijuana. Now two more states have done that. And I would
and D.C.
In the next cycle, you'll see more of that. So I think there's a trend. Minimum wage. That conversation started at least in part in little old SeaTac, Washington, and also the city of Seattle. And now four states have, by popular vote, raised their minimum wage. I think these local initiatives and efforts, these local conversations, are what ultimately is going to drive the national conversation, and hopefully we'll get back to one. I would suggest that one of the answers on education in Washington State will be to redirect money, not just raise taxes, but redirect money. And maybe if we get it right on marijuana and minor drug possession, we could reduce our prison population, we can reduce our prison expenses and start to invest in kids' futures rather than end them.
We're out of time. Will you come back and talk with us again sometime on KUOW?
Anytime.
Absolutely.
Chris Vance, former state GOP chair, former county council member. They were colleagues once on the county council. Greg Nichols, former mayor as well. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.